Hello everyone, welcome to the Joking Dolphin Game Pod. I'm Mark and as always joined by Matthew.
Hello.
And Nathan.
Hey up.
How are we doing?
Good. Fantastic even.
Ooh, what's going on? A jolly mood?
I've just had a good day, that's all. Went to see June, went out for a walk, went to gym. It's been alright. Can't complain.
And then you went for a rap?
Yeah, I went for a rap, not singing rap, because I can't rap for the life of me. I once went to Benidorm when I was 9 years old, and somebody signed me up to do My Name Is by Eminem, and my mum videoed me absolutely crashing and burning on the stage. I did the My Name Is bit at the start, and then when Eminem started rapping, I just absolutely froze. I was like, it's going too fast, and That's like forever immortalized in this video we've got. So, yeah, you'll
and
never see it.
Now.
Well, that's an amazing insight into Nathan's life.
Yep. Nobody wanted, but they got anyway.
Right. Should we move on to news then?
Yeah.
Where should we kick off with? Do you want to start with controversy?
Go on then. Love a bit of controversy.
Don't we also?
Have you heard of the game Escape from Tarkov?
I have.
I have done, yes.
Matt, have you played this? I have not.
I have not, no. Unfortunately, I've not had the privilege.
Okay. But, I haven't played it myself either, but, the developers haven't covered themselves in glory or something they've done recently. So, correct me if I'm wrong on this. So, they released an edition of the game called the Edge of Darkness Edition, I believe. That cost around $150.
Right.
Wow.
And in this edition, you got various benefits, including, I have read, an increased stash space, larger secure containers, and a bunch of other bonuses that many consider pay to win. But these are things that you could eventually apparently earn through playing the game.
Yes, from what I heard.
Yeah. And that edition also allows you all-inclusive access to any future releases or updates thereafter.
Okay. I should hope so for $150.
However, then the developers, Battlestate Games, they changed that last year to change, so it only included future DLC, I believe, was the change they made.
Okay.
Which brings us on to recent matters. So they've just announced a new version of the game called the Unheard Edition at a cost of $250.
Well, inflation and all that. Yeah, seems legit.
That includes features that cannot be earned in game. And the key point of all, well, the main sticky point with how this has irked fans is that this now includes a highly anticipated single player mode, I believe. A PvE mode.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's an argument that they have took away the original promise of everything after players had already spent
$150.
Yeah.
And then are reselling it at a higher price. And the lead community manager came out saying that there was arguing whether this was DLC or not. That's why this was being restricted to this new edition. And apparently the lead community manager said this: it ain't DLC, it's a unique feature of the new edition added. DLC means additional downloadable content. PvE is a feature and a game mode. Just because you all want it to become a DLC, it wouldn't mean it is one. It's a feature game mode for the new edition of the game. I think they're kind of missing the point with that statement. Is that essentially it's a rug pull.
Yeah, definitely. If you spend $150 on something, you expect to get everything. You were told you were going to get everything. Then they took that aspect away and they're going to charge you another $250 for it. That's shocking. Like, I don't know who'd spend $150 on it anyway, to begin with.
That is an interesting question to begin with. Why you'd spend that much anyway.
But anyway, I mean, obviously if you enjoy the game, you want all the perks that gives you, fair enough, all the power to you, if that's what you want to do. I've spent copious amounts of money on games before, so I'm not one to talk. But yeah, it's poor form from the developer, I think, definitely. And charging you so much more than the initial $150. So that's $400 all in. Not to mention the price of the game if it does have an initial price. I'm not sure, to be honest, but
mm.
it does seem like a lot.
Especially for just what is essentially just a new game mode?
Pretty much.
Like,
but apparently this new one does include stuff that can't be earned in the game either. Which begs the question of this whole pay-to-win thing. So that's not helping either.
I say that in LP, because is it something like this PBE, like, grants you access to stuff that you can then use in, like, the normal PvP mode, in effect? You mean, like, an advantage?
Do not know.
Don't know. Okay. But, that's not good. That's not good at all.
Do you know when they pulled the original kind of promise? They should have at least given some sort of a refund back or something back to the players to say it's not feasible. So we're going to take that bit away, but is £50 or dollar credit or something back and to use against any future things that we add onto the game. I think that would have been more palatable and understandable than saying, no, you can't have that. We're adding this new thing in.
Yeah.
Give us some more money. I might understand some games need to have this kind of model to keep going, because you'll get the money from the initial game, obviously, but paying developers, QA in the games, money don't grow on trees, and you need to recoup that somehow. But I think just more transparency with what they're looking to do would go a long way and be better than what they've done. And that statement that they came out with is just a bit childish, to be honest.
It is really, isn't it? I mean, I couldn't believe that when I read that. From the lead community manager.
It's like he had like a bit of a strop, wasn't it? It's like, no, it isn't DLC. Actually, DLC means this, and this isn't that. It's like, mate, calm down.
Well, it's downloadable content, and how is a new game mode added not downloadable content? I don't know.
Mm. Well, I'm just reading the article, and apparently there's actually an update to it. So, Foul State Games has announced plans to compensate the Edge of Darkness owners, so the $100-$150 people, with additional features, which include high priority matchmaking and access to the new PvE mode.
On earth is high priority matchmaking?
So I think if I know how Escape from Tarkov work, you have to essentially queue up to get into matchmaking games. Like, I think they have like so many servers and stuff, so you have to kind of wait to get in. So I'm assuming this will essentially give the user high priority to skip the queue.
You can't buy the game and just never be able to actually matchmake anyway.
You could do eventually, I think so. It's a popular game, unfortunately.
So. Well, at least they get Alton Towers queue jump, so I guess that's something.
Well, they also get access to the PvE mode as well, says it. For six months.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Coax them in with the 6 months. They enjoy it, and then they pull it away from them. Give us that $250.
Well, according to the update as well, apparently its attempt to please unhappy players has met with further criticism. So.
I'm not
mainly due to the time limited access.
Yeah, I mean, they made a big howler with this one, haven't they? I mean, they could have done this so much better.
I mean,
it is a shame.
6 months of the PVE and then $50 just to have that bit if you want it. And tack it on that way, maybe.
You mean as a DLC?
Some could say it could be a DLC.
Yes, indeed.
I'm just trying to think of ways that they'd be able to do it better, that's all. But obviously they've got their own thoughts. They can give me a ring if they want. I'll sort it out for them.
Right, well, from one unhappiness of a developer to another one. Keep the streak going. So, everyone knows who 2K are. If you know who 2K are, then you know that they do the WWE games.
They do.
The latest one being 2K24, which I think came out in March, I think. And with these games, they have what's called a community creations suite, where you can create your wrestlers, your rings, your arenas, championships, all sorts.
Some of the wrestlers people make are astonishingly close.
Yeah, some, I mean, like, honestly, like, some of the wrestlers that aren't in the WWE that some people create are shockingly fantastic, like almost full realistic. You know, you got the likes of, you know, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, all sorts over at AEW, and old school wrestlers as well that didn't make the cut, legends that are in the game. But there's been one particular creator who, shall we say, bends the rules a little bit to allow for unreleased content that's on the game to come to life. So stuff like making Brock Lesnar available to play as, because he got disabled before retail release. And there's other stuff within there, like when wrestlers in, say, the season mode have like an alternate look that you can't unlock, this guy comes in and basically unlocks it for you, and you can play as that version of the character. Seems relatively harmless if you think about it. But in technicality terms, he is this person who's called, what's the status? He's technically breaking the terms of service because he's technically modded the game to allow this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a few weeks ago, he got a message saying that he was permanently banned from the 2K servers and the game, which caused a bit of an uproar on Twitter, or X, if you'd like to call it that. I know some people do. And apparently this caused a big uproar with the community, that it got the hashtag free status trending, both in the US and the UK. Which is, you must be doing something right or wrong to get something like that trending. So apparently it's between this creator and 2K, they've been talking. And pretty recently, they've managed to get him, they've had a talk and he's been unbanned now. But they're going to be working with him in on some of his creations, sort of bringing them back, but for the ones that don't quite break that terms of service. So he could do stuff where, like, he could make the female wrestlers essentially be able to have, like, intergender matches with other male wrestlers, which has been in, like, WWE games, like, years ago, you could do that kind of stuff. But, like, it's been probably about 10 or so years now where they've kind of, like, limited that, and I think it's a bit, I mean, I can see why, but it's a game?
Like, to be honest, I used to play some at WWE games years ago, and I always enjoyed the male versus female wrestlers, because, to be honest, like, I was quite young when I was playing it, and I was like, yeah, let's kick her in the crotch.
What? Of course you said that.
And vice versa, kick him in the crotch.
I think you should just start with that and just go on with that.
Wait, to be honest, I can see why it was banned.
I mean, yeah, I think you could see it, and I think he, to be fair, on his part, he was like, you know, on a technicality, I did break the rules, so fair play to him, but it wasn't like he was doing anything malicious. He was just unlocking stuff that was locked behind.
What's the status? Banned, mate.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the status, isn't it? So, it was an interesting little story, reading upon it and how...
Well, at least they're communicating, yeah.
No, I think that was a nice thing. They did gain contact with him, and I think they kind of words things out, like, you know, don't do that again, or just be careful on what you release into the community. But yeah, that was nice.
Well, like some companies.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that's something that other developers could probably take note of and work with people in these situations.
Yeah, that's the thing you can sort of take away with this. Like, the company was willing to work with this, obviously, beloved community member to be like, oh, okay, you know, work things out and actually, I suppose, get a win for the community and the developer at the same time. So, just a nice little story.
Speaking of other companies, though. Let's talk about Nintendo.
Good or bad?
Bad.
Oh no. What have they done now?
So the lawyers at Nintendo have got sued and booted again by issuing DMC takedowns of Nintendo properties in the Steam Workshop of the popular sandbox game Garry's Mod.
Oh, Garry's Mod. I loved that game when I was younger.
So if you're not familiar with Garry's Mod, it's a creative game where players can freely spawn various items and characters and interact with them in physics-based environments. Basically can lead to almost infinite possibilities. Inevitably, people end up creating existing things to play about with. And in this case, obviously, Nintendo cropped up in there. Now, we know it's unsurprising that Nintendo come knocking on the door when their properties exist. But this game's been in existence for 18 years now.
I'm going to say, it's like a really long time. Like, Garry's Mod was
So it's a bit, I think it's 2006 really old. Came out.
Yeah.
So it's a bit curious as to why now.
I mean, they've probably finished chasing everybody with their R4 cards on the DS and they've moved on to this now.
But when I was reading about this, apparently there's been trouble in the Garry's Mod community, because apparently there's been a hoax user who's been issuing fake DMC takedowns as if they're part of Nintendo. So when this came to pass, people were initially thinking, oh, this is just that hoaxer again. But then Garry's himself actually come out and said, actually, this is legit.
Yeah, like this isn't a mistake this time.
Yeah. So I'm wondering whether that hoax job has basically alerted Nintendo. Yeah,
it does. It's a strange one, isn't it? Like, something must have, like, alerted them to this. And they've been like, oh, well, actually, we need to, like, take action now. Like, I don't know what it could have been. But, yeah, just strange timing. Plus, what about everyone that's made, like, videos and stuff on it? That's, like, a lot of videos that I have to take down. Like, I know a group that I used to follow on YouTube that I think a few of them would, you know, wear the, like, the Mario or Luigi costumes for the videos and stuff. And we were talking, like, back in, like, what, 2013, 14, that they got proper doing that kind of stuff, so.
You'd not think that they'd be able to do that, because it's not I know it uses likeness, but it's not technically Nintendo's IP that they're putting on YouTube if they're streaming.
Now that's what I'm wondering, like, would they look at videos as well of that kind of content? And be like, we need to take those down as well. Or is it just going to be, no, you just in the game, purely just anything Nintendo needs to go? Oh, no, like how far they'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably say so in terms of they'd probably leave the YouTube side alone because they're probably too busy trying to get all the actual Nintendo content down. Because they are we know they're very stringent, aren't they? So, and they've still got the PAL world to fight.
Yeah, we'll see that in 18 years.
It's a bit off topic, but I saw like supposedly one of the new PALs that they're putting in the game, and I don't know how they get away with it.
What Pokemon does it look like?
It's a combination of Glaceon and the Alolan Ninetales.
It's an original creation.
Yeah, that's it. It's original content. Inspired by.
Inspired is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. I will tell you that.
Anyway, shall we get on to some better news about Nintendo?
Sure. Yeah. Way.
Good. So it's quick anyway. So this will be good for you, Matt, because you'll be able to access this. So Nintendo have recently launched two new games on the Switch Online expansion pack. So these are both N64 games. So the first one is Extreme G. So this is a futuristic racing game. Now, I did play Extreme G Racing on the PS2 and really loved this game. So it's tempting me to maybe get the expansion pack as well, because I've only got Switch Online, the normal one. So I might think about upgrading just so I get access to that so I can give it a go. Because I have got an N64, but I don't dust it off very often. Only for certain games, like GoldenEye, which I'm not very good at. But yeah, so there's that one that's on there now. And there's also another racer called Iggy's Wrecking Balls. So, yep, weird name, but anyway. So this was released in 1998, and this is a bit of a stranger racing game, because rather than just being a linear path you've got to go through and race around a track, it's you've got to go to race to the top of this tower, and you've got kind of hurdles to overcome, and it's a race to the top. So it's a bit different, but something to look out for if you've got the expansion pack on your Switch. So a couple of games there for you.
Sounds good. Oh, well, sticking with the Switch. Apparently there's some new rumours that have come out about the new Switch, or Switch 2, whatever it'll be called. So this has come off a Spanish gaming site, which it reckons it's received a tip off from an unnamed
source.
Yes, source. There we go.
So if you can't say it,
we'll just say it was just a source. There we go. So it reckons, we're going to get new Joy-Cons. They're going to connect to the Switch via a magnetic mechanism. Okay. So it's actually just going to just...
Snap on.
Snap on.
I honestly thought you were going to say wire then.
They connect by a wire. The sides couldn't do it with that. So, but this essentially raises awareness now of like, well, what's going to happen to the old Joy-Cons, whether they'll have backwards compatibility or not, which...
Well, every new console has a new pad, doesn't it, so why would that be a thing?
True.
I mean, what they could end up doing is, you know, you can slide them things on for like R1 and L1 or whatever they are at the top. They might have one of them on to make it compatible to snap on. So like a little magnet thing you can slide on over the top of the Joy-Con. And it just snaps on. Could do that.
Or like an adapter thing.
Yeah. Because if it's using magnets don't have to be that big. So.
True. Could work.
So, hang on. So you're not going to get the magnificent clicky sound anymore? That's how they based their entire marketing around that click sound.
Well, it won't be called the Switch. They'll be calling it the Snap.
Hey.
The Nintendo Snap?
Maybe.
Not my idea.
Or they'll just get it to, when they do connect, just have it come through speakers.
Yeah, just
yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I mean, when the Switch first came out, there was issues with people putting the Joy-Cons on the wrong way around and getting them stuck. And you had some right issues getting them off.
I don't know about this. It was the, add-ons onto it, wasn't it?
Yeah, that you can slide over them. Do you know if you play two-player? People putting them on wrong. I mean, I don't know how you do it. Idiots, probably, but yeah.
Bit harsh.
Harsh, but
no,
fair.
No, he's right.
No, yeah.
So, I want to talk a little bit about Fallout, specifically Fallout 4. Oh. So recently, we got a next-gen upgrade that's come with a host of issues on numerous platforms. Now, I'll give you the high level. So, in terms of the Xbox version. It's got frame rate issues and not all mods are currently working, unfortunately. But anyway, they're working on that, apparently. And in terms of the PS5, if you've not got the physical version and you've got it for free via the PS Plus extra version, then you've got to pay for the upgrade, which is the princely sum of $15.99 to get the next-gen upgrade.
Aren't they trying to fix that, though?
Apparently, they are working on it, but still, that's in the works. But, to be honest, I'd have just charged for it anyway, for everybody, a fiver.
Of course, business mind Nathan would say that.
Yeah, well, it takes people time. It costs money to do these things, so why should everyone get it for free?
Yeah, but you've just said it is the right state, so... Why should anyone?
Well, what game's not in the right state when it first releases?
Good point, well made.
Apart from Kong Skull Island, an absolute masterpiece.
Absolute banger, that was.
That's it, yeah. But anyway, since I heard about the issues with the Xbox version, I thought to myself, I might give it a go and just see how bad it could possibly be. Because Lisa got it for Christmas about 8 years ago now, roughly when it first came out. Like, I must have got it somewhere. I looked for about 20 minutes, could not find it for the life of me. So I was like, right, I'm going to go to the shop this morning and go and buy it. Because it's only about probably £7 or £8 from CEX. And I could not find a copy for the life of me. There was not one. No Xbox version, no PS4 version. But obviously, off the back of the TV show doing so well, yeah, everyone wants to buy them up now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's fantastic for all the people coming to play it for the first time, because they'll get access to the next gen version, which hopefully soon they'll get it all sorted and they'll be able to play it. But not very good for me, because I couldn't get my hands on it to play it again. Because when I last played it, I was just about to go on, embark on the quest to get the power armor. So I got the power armor, but it was pretty much useless. So I had to go and get the stuff to power it and make it good. But yeah, looks like my quest will have to be on hold for now. But hopefully, everything will be sorted by the time I play it. But I really want to play the rubbish version. I just like giving things the benefit of the doubt, as you both know. Wrongly or rightly.
What I've learned about you is that you like to throw your money at tat. That's what I've noticed. If it's broken, Nathan's the first in the queue.
Pretty much.
I've actually not got Gollum.
Yet.
I don't believe you.
I've got some good games, you know.
Have you requested that as a birthday present?
My birthday's not until January, so Christmas present.
That's a bit Christmas-wise.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. To be honest, I'm looking forward to playing it again. Just to get into that world. I did play a bit of Fallout 3. But I couldn't find Fallout 4.
I'm going to move on to that, surely.
Yeah, it's good. When kids aren't trying to spoil your birthday. On Fallout, by the way, not my birthday.
Yeah, I was thinking then, that way.
Go on, Matt, what you
said
it
wasn't your birthday at all.
That's it. Devastated.
I was going to say that I've been playing a little bit of the next-gen Fallout 4 version on PS5. So far, so good. Not seeing anything drastically bad. No bugs ran into as of yet, unless you count the red roaches. Yeah, seems to be alright. I think I'm on performance mode, so I can definitely feel the 60 frames per second.
Isn't that supposed to be the better version?
I believe so, yeah. I think there's an issue with the quality mode at the moment. Although I don't know if that's just restricted to Xbox or if it's all versions, but yeah, I'm just playing on the performance mode, just clearing out Sanctuary and gonna make my way downtown.
I mean, I just kind of believe that it's probably just in a state because they were rushed into it because the series came out.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. I mean, it is a shame that this version now essentially breaks mods And I know the team that was working on the big,
Fallout
game conversion, Fallout London, yeah. They were not best pleased, to put it lightly.
Well, Bethesda don't owe them anything.
They don't, no, they don't. Although I do recall, I think they pinched one of their staff while they were working on the mod. So,
yeah,
I think it was the writer. So, so in a little way, they kind of owe them a little bit, but no. It's just bad time, wasn't it? Because I think it was planned to come out end of April.
Yeah.
And then like this drops and they're like, well, this just throws everything up in the air now. Like, what do we do?
Yeah, it's upset a couple of people at work for me.
Really?
One guy at work's been very angry about that.
Oh no. I bet they were probably looking forward to it.
Oh, he's really looking forward to it, yeah.
To be fair, it does look quite decent because it's got the Baldur's Gate 3 voice actor in it. Neil Newborn, he is? Newborn? He's a voice actor in the London mod, so. Which is pretty cool.
Spend no expensive.
So, yeah. I'll have to keep an eye on when that'll be able to release.
I'd be looking forward to playing that, actually. Because when did Fallout actually... When is it actually set? Like, obviously the bombs fly down and it's got like a 1950s aesthetic to it. Kind of.
Well, it's...
In the future.
Yeah, it's got what people thought in the 1950s, what the future would look like, essentially.
Mm.
Where it's still got the aesthetic of the 50s. The Great War, I think it was in 2077. And a lot that happens in at least Fallout 4, I think is like 22A-something. I think it's about 87. Because I know the show, the actual show is in 2292, I think. So, yeah, a lot of the games around like the 22 mark. I think the originals might have been 21 something. And then Fallout 76 is the most earliest in the timeline for the games. It's about 21.
76?
Yeah, I think it's about that.
Blues in the name. Sounds about right.
I'm intrigued. Now I feel like I need to research.
I've re-downloaded Fallout 76, funnily enough. So maybe we should give it another try.
Yeah, well, it can't go any worse than we did last time. So.
To be honest, up until when we got eavesdropped, it was going pretty well, I think.
Your issue was that you joined in my game and I was in an area that your guy's level should not be anywhere near. I should have eased you into it. I should have, like, joined one of your games.
We'll do that next time.
By the way, timeline-wise, Fallout 76 actually is in 2102.
So why is it called Fallout 76, then?
Because you come out of Vault 76.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. Right, that's me.
That's how it works.
I love this Fallout hype train. It's great. And maybe one day we'll talk about the series.
Maybe we shall. And with that, thank you for your time, chaps. That's all we have time for today. We'll be back next Tuesday. You can follow us across social media by Joking Dolphin on YouTube and Facebook, as well as Instagram and Twitter at Joking Dolphin. Until next time, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Take care.
Good day, everyone.